to begin, I have to take care of something right at the moment. So I'd like to begin by having you look at your notes and be ready to tell me what the summary is. What are the summary points that we've gone over? It'll take 3-4 minutes. Get your notes out. Refresh your memories. Be right back. Through his speaking, Prahlad Maharaj is disclosing to us what are the component parts of a service attitude. And first is, he starts with humility. The second was that his purpose is to see to the well-being and needs of others. He's not acting out of self-interest, but of the concerns and well-being of others. And the third is that in that dynamic of seeing to the well-being of others, ultimately he wants to please the Supreme Lord and his spiritual master. That Guru and Krishna should be pleased by this is the third. The overriding thing is that persons who engage in welfare work, they also engage in sense gratification. So the overriding thing is one's relationship with the personality of Godhead through that service that we are rendering. So the satisfaction of Guru and Krishna is my ultimate objective. But I don't exclude others because I only care about Guru and Krishna. Nor the other way. I'm concerned about serving others, and I'm in my contentedness with serving others. My immediate relationship with and direct relationship with Guru and Krishna is somewhat vague or peripheral or not at the center of my consciousness, not at the center of that activity. If it's not at the center, then certainly serving others and sense gratification has an interesting mix. But for our practical purposes, where we're trying to cultivate Krishna consciousness, we have to be mindful of both of those things. Exchange and always maintaining the humble mood. So all of that's part of, at least as you say this, when you hear this ever from me, that you should maintain yourself in a humble, in a service mood, it means all three of those things. That's what it is. It's all three components. Other points? Yeah.
Lord Maharaj, in this mission, he discusses that he is describing to his friends that how everything is one with the Supreme Lord. That was discussed because in order to render service to the Supreme Lord, there must be the Lord Gyanmar.
Your voice is in the fan, in my hearing.
In order to render service to the Supreme Lord within this material world, we have to understand this fundamentally, that everything is one with the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, many impersonalists who don't have this understanding, they refrain from the so-called material thing. But why should they understand that everything belongs to
that might draw him away from that association that he's pretty concerned about.
He's telling that I don't want any material kingdom or anything like that. Is that may distract him from his
mind? What are some of the other things that he has to say about not wanting material things? There are some other significant reasons why he doesn't want them.
He was telling that I was born in a
also, yeah?
Also, he's mentioning that in this world there's so much suffering that there are many remedies that are suggested to overcome those suffering. But those remedies themselves are open. So, even if I try to satisfy myself, all of these other things, that is ultimately not useful.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not as different.
material existence in checkmate. And what does he speak about fear? Someone who hasn't... What do you remember Prahlad saying about the position of fear?
Yeah. Any situation in the material world is full of fear. And only the only remedy is to take shelter of the spirit of Krishna.
Okay. And does Prahlad feel fear? Or... Fearfulness is if I somehow become neglectful or not properly situated in devotional service, were that to happen, that's what I'm afraid of. But as far as the feature of Lord Nrisimhadeva, he's not afraid. There are a couple of things that Prabhupada says about why he's not afraid. Why he's not afraid is he knows that that fierce feature of the Lord is meant for the non-devotees, and the gentle, shelter-giving feature of the Lord is meant for the devotees. Then another understanding, not expressed here, but the fierce feature is also worshipable. The gentle feature is also worshipable. They're equally worshipable, and the devotee understands that because it's the Lord's protection feature. That's worshipable. And the Lord's shelter-giving feature, that's worshipable. Equally worshipable. So there's no fear. And then what about his happiness? Or suffering. What does he say about that? You didn't review this time. You didn't review yesterday. You would know the answer. You do know the answer. You don't know the answer. Huh? Some part of it.
He says that in the material world everyone is crushed by time, so in the wheel of time and
crushed by time.
We have been suffering again and again, grinding like in a grinding stone. He said that.
So that's where he says that he's fearful of this material existence, and therefore he takes shelter, devotional service, and from the position of shelter and devotional service, then he will be crushed. And that, therefore, the fear is taken away. Again, that's the reverse way of saying the same thing that Kishore said. He has no fear as long as he stays in the realm of devotional service. What's fearful is stepping outside the realm of devotional service. Then comes this crushing wheel of time.
You say that my concern is for the people, those who are very foolish and who are trying to enjoy worldly life. I'm very sorrowful at seeing their...
There it is. His unhappiness is the very foolish neglect of devotional service that others are engaged in. That's his unhappiness. But his happiness is that he's always remembering the Supreme Lord and always chanting his glories. And so he's always happy. He's happy and unhappy. But both of those happiness and the unhappiness, they're both transcendental. So they're both intensifying his attachment for the Lord. And therefore ultimately transcendentally happy. That unhappiness is not like ours. Even say our unhappiness when some calamity comes. Even unhappiness for others when some calamity comes, the earthquake, unhappiness. Any other? Yes. So what does he say about that? Us from this situation. He speaks about the Purusha avatars, the process of creation. He speaks about the realization of Brahma, the oneness of all things with the Supreme, and the distinction of all things from the Supreme. Finish Prahlad's prayers. And we'll start with from 45 to 50. So with 45, this is a very often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, very, very often quoted verse, at least the first line of the Sanskrit. Yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. Another verse that Prabhupada, I want to draw your attention, text 43. At the end, maya sukhaya varam udbahato vimudhan. Prabhupada just shortened it by saying maya sukhaya civilization. This is the verse where he says, I'm not at all afraid of material existence because I can stay fully absorbed in you, in thought of you, just by chanting and remembering you. My concern is for others who are busy making their elaborate plans for material happiness. So this is Vimudhan, fools, rascals. I mentioned this, that he's speaking in this strong, seemingly heavily condemning language, but actually he's just stating what the reality is, and what's from his heart is not condemnation, but great, great compassion and love. I'm simply concerned with love for them. But the maya sukhaya, maya sukha, so happiness that's illusory. Happiness that never happens. Then, yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. So here, Prabhupada is contrasting the two terms, grihamedi and grihastha, and he also uses kripana and brahmana. Similar contrast. So the grihamedi position is the mayasukha position, happiness of sense gratification. And a civilization that's based on this, the would-be happiness of sense gratification that never happens, is found in all varieties and all arrangements for sense gratification, but especially this number one important one, maitun, or sex pleasure. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. So Prahlad is comparing this to two hands rubbing together, and that's happiness. So two senses contacting one another, and that's happiness, the happiness of material civilization, the bringing together of two different sets of senses, and the experience of sense affairs is the happiness of materialistic society. He says that the purport of that so-called happiness is distress. And there's different levels of considering that distress. The most significant level is that that kind of pursuit blocks from one's consciousness access to spiritual happiness. One's consciousness becomes covered, and when one's consciousness is covered, spiritual happiness is covered. It's as far away as non-existence. It's not a reality for the materialistic person. So that's the greatest suffering. That's the greatest misery. And then, of course, Prabhupada analyzes the so many other miseries that one has to endure for that moment of sense contact, that is the sensational pleasure of materialistic life. So In contrast is the position of the Brahmana, or in the Sanskrit word is dhira, the last line, kanduntivan manasajam vishaheta dhira. Vishaheta dhira. Vishaheta dhira means to tolerate. Vishaheta. So it's like an itch, and rather than just impulsively scratching the itch, you tolerate the itch. And in so doing, one earns this title of dhira. Have any of you studied the 13th chapter of first canto, Bhagavatam, the story of Dhritarashtra? Who can remember there's three stages of transcendentalists? The first of them is, who remembers what they are? Dhira. Huh?
Highest is Narottama.
Highest is Narottama. The lowest is Dhira. And the intermediate is something else. Paramahamsa and Narottama are the same. They're used in different places but interchangeably. Huh? What was it? Paribrajakacharya. Paribrajakacharya. Tongue twister, huh? Okay. Now what's Dhira? You have another name? Another name?
Sannyasi.
Sannyasi. But in a sannyas order, this is Bahudakutijak and Paribrajakacharya and Paramahamsa, the four stages of sannyas. So Prabhupada is in this Bhagavatam chapter has given us the Dhira, then sannyas or Paramahamsa, Paribrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa or Narottama. Okay, so Dhira. Dhira is the lowest stage. That's what Vidura was advocating of Dhritarashtra. And what's that? Yes? Okay. Okay. What else does he say about Dhira?
Neutral
towards material, but there's a motivation in that neutrality. It's a motivation out of disgust. That was the emphasis, but it's all part of the thing. So, not because one's fried. That's the dhira. Like the lower end of dhira. I can't take it anymore. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to tolerate this business. It's transparently not so elevated, but because it's fraught with miseries, and so let me not indulge myself in these worldly things. I'll stand aloof from them, dhira. I'll try to be neutral towards them, dhira. And then sannyas or paribrajakacharya, what's that one? Yeah, that's paribrajakacharya. More than just distancing oneself, but taking up positive activities for purification, visiting holy places, hearing from saintly persons, taking up activities that are positively going to further purify oneself. And Paramahamsa is in the topmost realized stage of spiritual perfection, relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that person can be anywhere, in any circumstance, and is fully transcendental. and certainly neutral. So, Vishaheta Dhira, Prahlad is speaking here about undisturbed by neutral to the impulses of attraction for sense enjoyment, not having to scratch the itch. And Prabhupada comments in the purport that the absence of this is due to no education and culture, or with education and with culture, this is just a norm. Is such educated and cultured persons are sober. They don't act on an impulse. Knowing what is Brahman and what is Asat, when something, some charge, some indication is coming from the Asat realm, I don't have to respond to that and find happiness in indulging in that, or find happiness by shutting down that impulse. Just stay in touch with Brahman. But Kripanas are those who receive this human form of life, or Grihamedis are those who are in the human form of life and make it their whole. It's the construct of their civilization is pursuit of sense gratification. Horrible life. Horrible civilization. Total waste of this human birth. So, moving along, recognizing the next verse, recognizing that problematic situation, some persons consult the Vedas for counteractive methods and identify liberation by those counteractive methods and the effective neutralization, at least neutralization of the impelling force of sense gratification. So he gives, there's 10 types of those activities. They're listed in text 46. He says that these different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and a means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. So, Prabhupada has a lot to say about this in the purport. First thing is that he quotes a verse from the sixth canto, previous canto, the Vasudeva Parayana, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana. Did I mention this already? Okay. We went through the whole thing with Gyan Yoga process and all of that. Kevala Bhakti, the verse is saying that through the process of unmixed devotion, where one's life and soul, Vasudeva Parayana, is the Supreme Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. I mentioned Agham Dunvante Karsneya. Niharam Iva Bhaskaram. So, because of time, I'll just do it in a simple way. That's in the first chapter of the sixth canto where Shukadeva Goswami is replying to Maharaj Pariksit's question, how can the living entity not have to see the hellish planets, even if they've engaged in sinful activity, which entitles them to go to the hellish planets? So he gives different alternatives and counteracting those sinful reactions by prayaschitta, that's rejected by Maharaj Pariksit. Then the next is the following of proper dharma, including counteractive methods, combined with fixing one's mind in the absolute truth as found in the Vedas. Gyan yoga, so karma yoga or karma kanda, and gyan, process combined. And with the gyan process, there are purifying activities, which Prabhupada mentions in the purport. That's like these 10. So I'll read the 10, because he quotes the 10 several verses in a row. Mona, Vrata, Shruta, Tapa, Adhyayana, Swadharma, Vyakya, and so on. So there's 10 processes, each of which help give strength to the Gyan Yoga process. It helps keep one in the condition of freedom from passion and ignorance. So it helps keep one fixed in goodness. Side by side with fixing one's understanding in the absolute truth. Right? Very assiduous study of the Vedas. So Shukadeva Goswami himself actually rejects that one with the by going further by this one. Because